Sacktown Sports Headlines.
It's Simone Rickford with your Sacktown Sports Headlines. Ladies and gentlemen, the magic number is one. For the Sacramento Kings to lock in a playoff seating. With the dub tonight, the Sacramento Kings can become the third team from the Western Conference to clinch a spot in the 2023 NBA playoffs and mercifully end the 16-year playoff drought.
The Sacramento Kings are going to break the curse.
Kings are hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves at Golden One Center in beautiful downtown Sacramento. And the legendary G-Man is on the call for this momentous night in Kings history. You won't want to miss it. Head to SacktownSports.com and listen along on our mobile app.
The Kings fans!
Not to be, baby!
Before anyone starts popping post-game bottles, we're going to guide you right up until game night coverage tipping off at 5:30 today, but tons to get into before then. I'm Simone. Those are your Sacktown Sports headlines. Now back to Cattles and Rami.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Second hour of the radio show. No Rami today. JJ in for Rami, who took a vacation day. Brendan Nunes from the Kings Herald will join us in less than 15 minutes to talk Kings. Yes, yes, yes. It is a big night, possibly, for all of us. Huge night, possibly, for the Kings. People are feeling it. Andrew Cardwell, what up, y'all? 16 years of pain ends tonight.
It's already ended, Nick. Kings are in the playoffs.
You said that on our pre-production meeting, and it totally triggered Kyle, too. It was like throwing him off. He's like, well, not technically.
I was like, did I miss something here? Is it officially clinched?
Yes.
Kyle's math brain jumped up. Yeah, right. I was like, yeah.
Pythagorean theorem. He was like, oh, what the heck?
Do not break me.
Man,
text line, 916-339-1140. Yo, JJ.
What's happening?
You tried to clown me last week.
Talk to him.
When I said the Kings finish 8-2, they start 2-0. So?
Means nothing. Got 8 more games.
Talk to me when they go 6-2 and they finish 8-2.
All right, we'll do.
Is what JJ's telling
who,
you right
who
now.
Who said that?
Just a text line.
Oh, okay, yeah. No doubt.
Brian Jones, yo peeps, big night. Yes, it is a big night.
It is.
It is a big night. In part because of what Kevin Herter did over the weekend. My man was doing work on Friday and Saturday. We weren't 100% sure until the end of the show on Friday if Kevin was going to be playing. He said he intended to play. We hoped he would play. Oh, he played. He played. And he was the leading scorer on back-to-back nights for this team. Overall, though, I mean, because we always fall in love with the shooting and we always fall in love with the points. And I've said from the beginning of this year with Kevin Herter and some other guys, don't just pay attention to the points. I like when Herter has a complete game and when he's doing everything. Because I think offensively, defensively we'll get to, but offensively, he can do a lot. And he proved that again, Jay, over the weekend. Against Phoenix, he had 29 points. Great, leading scorer.
Ooh.
But he also had 9 rebounds and 5 dimes.
Yeah.
That's the Kevin Herter that I love. I love the Kevin Herter that's getting you 5-plus rebounds, 3, 4, 5 assists. That is a very active, engaged Herter. It's not just DHO City from Domas, and he's knocking threes down. He's doing much more. And I also think, you know, from when he was out for that stretch, what we truly realize is he's somebody that can score all three levels. He can score in the mid-range, he can score near the bucket, and obviously he can shoot the lights out. So 29-9-5 against Phoenix. Here was Herter in the postgame after doing that to the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always confident. I felt good. You know, to start the game, I didn't start off great. You know, just getting back into a rhythm. I think I airballed a layup, you know, early in that, either first or second quarter. You know, just try to stick with it. You know, Domas was talking to me over the course of the game, just continuously trying to stay aggressive and got hot in that third quarter.
And then Herter on Saturday night when you and I were there, JJ, 27-7-4 against the Jazz. Another game, right? 5-plus rebounds, 3, 4, 5 assists. If Herter is doing that, it's going to be very difficult to beat the Kings. And in March, JJ, he's been good. In March, 5 games of scoring 25 or more points. He did it against Minnesota early in the month on March 4th. He had 29 points. And then a couple days later, he scored 25 against the Pelicans. And then he scored 28 against Milwaukee in that fantastic game here at the G1C. And then, of course, the back-to-back belly-to-belly on Friday and Saturday night. And the thing that I love looking at even more, again, going beyond the scoring, because if you score 25 or more points, great, but if you took 25 shots to get there,
sure,
what are we doing? But against Minnesota, he was 11 of 15 from the floor. Against New Orleans, he was 9 of 16. Against Milwaukee, he was 10 of 17. Against Phoenix on Friday night, he was 10 of 18. Utah, Saturday night was the only game he shot below 50%, and he was 10 of 21. Kevin Huerter has been incredibly efficient this month. He's been scoring the ball, but JJ, he's been doing a lot of other stuff as well for this team.
Yeah, it's I go back to Jay Triano, Coach Jay Triano, where he stated that Kevin Huerter was their third ball handler. They would like to see Kevin Huerter be their third guy who handles the rock. And it kind of surprised me a little bit because we know Malik Monk coming off the bench is going to handle it. We know Davion, of course, if De'Aaron's not there, he's going to fill in that starting point guard. But I didn't see that coming. And just to what you're saying is the shot making ability, the fact that he can handle the rock, dish it, give it away, you know, take it when he needs to. But one thing I noticed over the last couple of games, especially with De'Aaron going away or being hurt, not playing, is Kevin has kind of stepped up into that role of De'Aaron being that number one scorer for the Kings. And as you named off right there, he's kind of upped his total field goal shot taking because De'Aaron's not been there.
Right.
And so Kevin's kind of been the guy that steps up into that. So that also lets me know he's got awareness. He's got game awareness.
Yeah.
He knows when to step on the gas a little more. He knows when he's needed a little more. He knows when to kind of peel it back a little more. And I appreciate that, man. Kevin's been balling. Kayvon has actually been appearing for the Sacramento Kings, not Kevin.
Yeah, it has been Kayvon. And I think you bring up a great point there with Fox. You know, Herter's a guy, he understands his lot in life, right? He knows who he is and what he is and how he chips in and what is needed.
For sure.
And without Fox on Saturday, he steps up and he proves, hey, I can handle the ball a little bit. I can create. The same thing on Friday when Foxy had to leave with the hammy. So Huerter has proven that I can be the third or fourth guy on this team,
yeah,
but if you need me to step up, and I don't think that, you know, if you're the Kings, you'd want him consistently to be the number two guy, but he has proven that for a game, couple games, for a stretch, he can step up as
for
that
sure
number two guy, and he can play off of Domas. And that he really is the prototypical player on this roster, JJ, that we talked about before the offseason last year when we said this team needs to add shooting. They need to add that shooting dynamic to go along with Fox and Domas because of how they're going to play offensively. And if you were to mold a player, if you were to mold a shooter, then, you know, what you have is Kevin Huerter being that perfect guy that fits with those two others. He really is because of the DHO action, he is a great shooter when he's moving. Not everybody can be that. Not everybody is a great shooter with movement. And that's what makes him so effective and impactful with Domas, because you've got the DHO, which is just almost impossible to stop because Kevin is so good off of movement, off of screens, off of the DHOs. And that's what we've seen. I've said this too. We talk about X factors, and I've said that, you know, Keegan could be an X factor. If he gives you two or three games, JJ, in a playoff series where he gives you 18-plus points, Kings are pretty tough to beat when he does that.
For sure.
And we know, I think the record is, what is it, 5-1, 6-1 when he scores 20 or more? So when you look at this, though, you can really expand that. You have Keegan, you have Huerter, and you have Monk. All three of those guys can act as an X factor.
Yes.
If you have two of those three guys playing well, this offense that is historically great is even better.
Yes.
That's what's dangerous about this team. If you're trying to slow them down, if Kevin's got it going, if Keegan's got it going, if Monk's got it going, or at least two of those three guys, you know what you're getting with Fox, you know what you're getting with Domas, and that's when teams have a really difficult issue on their hands because, look, you can plug a hole in the boat. But when you got to plug four or five holes in the boat, it's more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. You know, going back to Huerter, one of the other things that caught my eye, and I had put this down, was, Man, he's in the passing lanes for quite a bit. He had three last night. He had one on Friday. Prior to that, he missed a few games. But going back to the Knicks game, he had two peels. I mean, dude's I don't know if it's just the fact that he's been to the playoffs and he knows it and intensifies now and these games mean a little more, or maybe he is healthy 100% compared to what he was in prior. But he's been in the passing lanes. He's at least given me one or two. He had two against the Knicks as well. But yeah. When you have all three of these guys, orchestrating a band together.
Yeah.
You got one on the drums, you got one on the guitar, and you got one, on the ukulele, so to say.
I thought you were going to go to bass. You went the ukulele.
No, yeah, well, ukulele, man. You know, sometimes some of these guys have some weird type of habits, so to say. But I think if you can get all three of these guys on the same playing field at one point in time.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Goodness, I would love to see it, because it just seems as two of the three, it's never three of the three. I never can get my lead off and my second and my third spot to go at the same time. And I just think if you could possibly get all three, it would be fantastic. But I do think Herter, compared to Monk and Keegan, has definitely been the most consistent. We know he started off the season absolutely sizzling. And, he seems like he's finishing the season sizzling. But I do think if he can stay, I would prefer to see him be the number three right now than to lean on Keegan and the fact that he's a rook. And I would like to see Keegan kind of go up and down.
Yeah. And we've seen Herter do it in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
With Atlanta, he single-handedly won a game seven for them.
Come on now.
We've seen him play big in big moments. I don't know if you're going to be able to get all three guys at the same time, just because I don't know if you can get enough shots. Fox is going to get his shots.
Yeah.
I would say Domas is one of the most efficient offensive players in the league. He doesn't take a ton of shots. So that helps the idea of, hey, maybe if you can get those three guys cranking at the same time. But I feel like one of those three at least is going to have to take a little bit of a back seat. If the two others are shooting 10 to 15 shots. Just because of the numbers.
But, Nick, do you think this team moves as much as Kevin being the number three? Like, if he's the stalwart of number three, do you think the Kings move a little further compared to if Keegan was that number three or if Malik was that number three? Would you like to see Kevin kind of hold that down, or are you okay with one of those three mix and matching every night?
I like the idea of Kevin being the guy for this year.
Okay.
I think next year I'd like to see Keegan grow into that role as the third guy. But I like Herter as a third guy because, again, of the action they run.
Sure.
Because if he's making shots, it opens up the world for Domas. Because now teams are overreacting to the DHOs, they're overreacting to the screens. And Kevin's done a good job of, hey, if you're going to overreact on the handoff of the screen, now I'm going to slip back door every once in a while and beat you at the rim.
Sure.
So I think that really diversifies the offense if Kevin is the third guy. But all you need, again, this conversation just really, I think, opens the eyes. If you have one of those guys step up, and the chances are one of those three are going to be pretty good every night. So that's the depth that we talked about before this season tipped off. All right, you have thoughts on the Kings, feel free. 916-339-1140 is a text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget the website, sacktownsports.com. Emil and Frankie, Chris, Joe doing great work at that site, sacktownsports.com. And, of course, we have the app from anywhere, Sacktown Sports 1140. Brendan Nunes of the Kings Herald joins us in 90 seconds.
Catch every Niners game right here.
It's a new partnership. It's a new day. We're going to be able to build some things together. But let's not fool anybody. This has always been a Niners town.
Here's Purdy out of the gun looking for McCaffrey on the goal line. Touchdown!
Sacktown Sports, your official home for 49ers football in the 916.
Sacktown Sports!
With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
Feels like a night to clinch, folks. Feels like a night to clinch.
When the Clippers lose? Okay, I'm just playing, man. People going to start getting at me.
Sacramento Kings going to break the curse.
Yeah.
And shouts out to the texter who said he went 2-0. Hey, listen, when we get halfway, you go 4-1, you know, 4-1 or 4-0 or something. I respect it. I'm not pushing it to the side.
All right, so let's continue Kings talk. Joining us right now on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, is our friend Brennan Nunez from the Kings Herald, also does the Kings Pulse podcast. Brennan, as always, we appreciate your time, my man. If the Kings clinch tonight, how big of a moment and how much celebration should there be?
Thanks for having me on, as always, guys. It's got to be great in that building, man. I mean, it's been 16 seasons, 17 years, and it's been known for a little while now that this was going to be the year to end it. But I think just the fans deserve to have this moment of celebrating it, you know, of everything sort of being worth it, all the people that stayed loyal and everything. And the players acknowledged the shoot around. You know, of course, they're going to downplay it's just another game to them, but they would also look forward to just the explosion that could go on in Golden 1 Center tonight from that fan base. So I hope I get to experience it. I think it would be an amazing moment.
What's the first thing Brendan Nunez does when the Kings win tonight?
I got to keep it professional, man. So I guess take a video and then go down to postgame, man. I got to keep it professional.
You handled that well, because I probably would have said something different.
Yeah, yeah. JJ would have been popping bottles. Brendan Nunez with us here on Cattles and Rami. No Rami, JJ in for Rami today. Brendan, we were just talking about Kevin Huerter and his weekend and his overall impact when he's active and he's playmaking. How much of a difference does this guy make if he can give you what he's been giving you in March during this postseason run?
I think it's really important for this team. Obviously, the shooting is there, and I think it's – even if the shot's not falling, he still has, like, a gravity and threat to him as a shooter. But we've seen him have these quarters. It seems like more often than not it's the third quarter, but there's been other times where it's either 1, 2, or 4, but where he'll just put up, you know, 15 points like it's nothing, and he catches fire. And post-All-Star break, 14 games, he's putting up 17 points on 46% from three, just under 7 attempts there. So that's going to be there. But I think the playmaking that you mentioned is really important, just kind of as a connector, specifically when De'Aaron Fox is either unavailable or on the bench, right? So I think that really stands out. And they've really been asking him to rebound as well. There's a lot of times that Domantas Sabonis is involved in the initial action, and then Huerter or Monk or some other guys, but specifically those two have been called out about kind of helping the helper and making sure to secure boards, and he's done that in these last two games, 7 against Utah and 9 against Phoenix. So I think that's pretty big for this team.
Kessler Edwards has seemed to find a spot in the rotation here in the top 9, I would say. Just from 10 to 20 minutes, seems like he's playing every single night. What are you seeing from Kessler, and why do you think he's earned that type of, minute during the game?
Yeah, Kessler's played in each of their last 12 games, averaging about 15 minutes a night. I think that this is somewhat of a trial period. I don't know that I'm at the point where I'm, like, thinking he's 100% part of the playoff rotation. I think if he continues to prove himself as he has, that he could get spot minutes. I think a lot of it admittedly has to do with the wing defense on this team outside of him is pretty underwhelming. You know, I'd imagine that if Anthony Edwards is available, he's listed as questionable right now, that they'll start the game with Keegan Murray guarding him. And that's a tough ask for your rookie. You know, I think that Keegan has his moments, but the next best option is probably Kessler Edwards. I think that was one of the bigger games. That was kind of the breakout game for him last time, was matching up with Ant. So I think that Kessler has done a lot on the defensive end with his length and versatility, and then also not hesitating to let it fly on offense when he's open, I think has been important. But I do also think there's an aspect of there's a very real lack of wing defense on this team. So he's been a breath of fresh air in that aspect.
Brendan Nunez is with us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Brendan, let's talk about Keegan. 4 threes away from breaking the 3-pointers made by a rookie in the NBA. How's he performed compared to your expectations going back to draft night?
You know, I think that it's been better than expected, but in a similar role. You know, I think the team surrounding him is better than I expected, and that maybe messed with my evaluation of what I thought Sacramento should pick at the time. But with the surrounding cast being as good as it's been, and Keegan being such a big part of that. I think that he's been everything you could ever want in this role. He's actually on pace. It sounds insane, but he's having the greatest shooting season any NBA rookie ever has in history. He's going to break that record, and he's so much more efficient than Donovan Mitchell or Damian Lillard was. But I do think it's important to highlight that, you know, so many of his shots are on catch and shoot, and that's what it's supposed to be right now, right? Nobody wants him taking these pull-up threes quite yet. That's not his role in this offense. So I think he's playing his role amazingly, and I think a lot of credit is due to the other guys, specifically Fox and Sabonis, in setting him up. And I think defensively, as I mentioned, he'll be on Anthony Edwards, I'd imagine, tonight. That, you know, if it's the Clippers, it'll be Paul George. If it's the Suns, it'll be Devin Booker. If it's the Warriors, it's probably Klay Thompson. I think offensively, you know what you're getting, and it's been great. But defensively, I think he's kind of an X factor for this team.
Joined by Brendan Nunez of the Kings Herald. Davion has, of course, stepped in for the last couple of games for De'Aaron starting. He had a good game against Utah, I would say, with 11 points and 6 assists, 4 steals. Phoenix, he didn't really stat stuff, though he did have 6 assists. Do you see Davion turning the corner a little bit here, rounding into shape for what we need to see him for the playoffs? Or do you still think he's up and down and we need to see a little more from Davion?
I hope that it's rounding a corner, but I hesitate to, like, fully commit to saying that yet. I think the biggest thing for me is that the last six games, he has not had a single turnover, you know, and he's not asked to go out there and get buckets, you know, be crossing people up. Although we saw like a little bit of highlights in that Utah game. I think Chris Dunn might still be thinking about that when Davion had him spinning around. But I think just finding his role on offense, and he's almost always going to be on the floor when Sacramento's healthy. He's almost always going to be playing with Domantas Sabonis because Davion's playing in place of Fox. And the Kings always want one of Fox or Sabonis on the floor, meaning Davion is almost always going to get to play with him and play off of him. So I think just not doing too much, keeping the flow of the game going on offense is something that he settled into a lot recently. And, of course, you know what you're getting defensively from that guy.
Brendan Nunez with us here. Just a couple more for you, Brendan, before we bid you adieu. Right now, of course, we talk about the Kings clinching tonight, hopefully, as, you know, looks like they are the likely 3 seed when all is said and done. Right now, the Warriors are the 6 seed. How do you feel about that matchup?
Man, it's kind of growing on me from Sacramento's perspective. And that also has to do with, I don't know that I love any of the matchups. You know, we'll see about Minnesota tonight, but I think that their length has given Sacramento issues in the past. I don't want anything to do with the Suns from Sacramento's perspective. And the Clippers, if Paul George is there, have some wings that I think could give Sacramento some trouble. So I'm kind of growing on the idea of the Warriors. If there's no Andrew Wiggins, I don't know who's supposed to be guarding De'Aaron Fox. I guess Klay Thompson, but I don't think he moves the same way he used to. I think that Sabonis can try to use some of that size advantage with Draymond Green, who, again, I don't think is quite the same defender it used to be. And Mike Brown's got a little bit of intel on how that team likes to play and what some of their weaknesses are. I know they're built a little bit differently now, but that idea is growing on me. I don't know that I'd necessarily go into it with great confidence from Sacramento's point of view, but more of like a coin flip, just obviously thanks to that difference in postseason experience there. But I think it's one that could be pretty interesting for Sacramento.
All right, Brendan, thank you for the time, man. It's much appreciated as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, there goes Brendan Nunez, Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, one-stop Honda shop. Of course, Brendan's from the Kings Herald and the Kings Pulse podcast. We'll continue with thoughts on the Kings. Also, Luka sounds like he's had it in Dallas. We'll have some can't-miss audio for you and more coming up next.
Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami. Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Yes, I got a feeling it.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
You know it.
Little Black Eyed Peas, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Number one song of 2010.
Was it 2010?
Yes, it was.
I would have been way off. I was going to say earlier 2000.
Yeah, me too.
It all blended together.
It did.
Those 20s and 30s.
Kyle, do you want to say your joke about how young you are right now?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't think he needs to say it, Simone. I'm glad that you are enjoying the joke.
I was 4 years old the last time the Kings made the playoffs.
There you go. 4 years old.
Well, that's your bad, Kyle.
But I got a feeling tonight's a good night, though.
Tonight you can clinch. You can also make sure that you've got home court, which is nice for the first round. That would be beautiful. By the way, YouTube, youtube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Join the party at YouTube. A bunch of listeners today watching and listening and chatting between each other in the chat window. We're up to 75 likes, by the way.
Come
but
on
I need
now.
100, please.
Am I going to push it to get to 100?
Oh, yes. You know how we do it?
You're going to go back to the old before we do that.
Okay.
Because last time we went to Simone.
Yes.
And we wanted 50 likes, and we blew through 50 likes.
Within like a minute.
And QHV, pressed like just because Simone. Scooter 916, way to take care of business at Simone. TCG, Simone flexing with the arm emoji, making a muscle. Rich Ficker, Simone, I gave the thumbs up all the way from La Mesa.
And I thank everyone. This is incredible, but we need 100. So if you're listening, please join us on the YouTube chat. I'm interacting. We're having fun. We're going to be, you know, getting into it before game night. So come see me.
All right. So there you go. 100 likes.
Not literally.
Can we get to 100?
This seems like a cash grab.
100 likes.
It's coming, Nick. Watch.
Let's see if we can do it. And by the way, I do want to thank First Tech Federal Credit Union for sponsoring our YouTube. YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Likes means eyeballs, of course, trying to drive this product, trying to grow the brand here at Sacktown Sports 1140. You can help us do that by just swinging on by and giving us that like. Should be a lot of fun. If we hit to 100, it'd be nice. It'd be the first celebration of the day, hopefully with more celebration to come tonight. Meanwhile, as the Kings inch closer to the playoffs, what else is going on in the West? Well, the Mavericks are, I don't want to go too far here. I don't want to lose my mind just yet. I don't want to say that they're imploding, but things are not going well in Dallas. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. They lost back-to-back games this weekend to Charlotte. They lost back-to-back games to the Charlotte Hornets.
Is LaMelo? Oh, no, he's not.
He done.
Of course.
Mavs are now the 11 seed. They're 2.5 games back of Golden State for the 6 seed. And if you weren't concerned by their play and you're a Mavericks fan, I think you were concerned by Luka's post-game press conference because listen to my man who just sounds miserable right now.
It's really frustrating. You know, I think you can see it with me on the court. Sometimes I don't feel it's me. You know, just being out there. You know, I used to have really fun smiling on court. But it's just been so frustrating, maybe for a lot of reasons, not just basketball.
What else is going on?
You know, I don't talk about my private life. Just a lot going on.
All right, so first of all, not sure what's going on away from the floor.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going to, you know, speculate about that.
Can't touch it away from the floor.
You know, we'll see if anything comes out and if Luka goes into more detail. But obviously, he said something's going on away from the floor that has left him frustrated. And even more so, I mean, on the floor, again, this team, you brought in Kyrie. You thought it would give a little bit of a boost to life, and it really hasn't done that. The Mavs actually got booed off the floor by their fans over the weekend, and here was Kyrie talking about that.
So what? Just the way I feel about it. I've been in New York City, so I know what that's like. You know, you obviously want to play well, but, you know, it's only 5 people on the court that can play for the Dallas Mavericks. If the fans want to change places, then, I mean, hey, be my guest. Got years of work ahead of you to be great enough to be on this level, but that our focus isn't necessarily on the booze. It should be on our performance.
He's insufferable,
man.
To go to the old player, we're the player. You're not the player. You can't play the game. Look, man. They pay their money, Kyrie. The reason why you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars is because people pay to watch you play.
Yeah.
And when they pay to watch you play, they have every right to either boo or cheer you. As long as they don't cross a line, like we've talked about before, and talk about family and be racist dinks and all that stuff. If they're just booing you because they're disappointed in this team, they have the right to do that. And you going all, hey, I'm the player and you guys can't play as well as us.
Yeah.
Nobody is saying they can play as good as you can play. They just want you to play better because you are the professional athlete. Here was Luka about the fans booing.
you guys put him in a spot here, but probably, yeah, you know. This season hasn't been what we think it was going to be, but, you know, we still got time to make up.
By the way, I would like to give you this quick update. The Timberwolves, so far questionable. Ant Edwards is questionable. Torian Prince is questionable. Noel is questionable. Towns is out. So that's what we've got so far. But, JJ, your thoughts on the Mavericks and what's going on in Dallas?
Well, in overreaction Monday, I said they wouldn't make the playoffs. So I think – I'm not going to say they're imploding, but I do think there's some TNT under the feet. Like it's almost that time. First of all, let me wish Luka anything that's off the court personally. If there's a problem, issue, man, look, life is precious, brother. I'm not saying, you know, whatever it is, we wish you the best.
Right.
Straight up,
yep.
Man. Like, you know, one thing I always do is I separate entertainment, sports, and life. A lot of people don't do a good job of that, but I always make sure that I do that. So I just want to make sure that, you know, we put that out there. As far as the Mavs, though, the Kyrie situation, it was a coin flip from the jump.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, we all knew that. It was either going to go up or it's going to go down. The arrow right now is probably pointing catty corner, and it's starting to flex a little bit, you know, downwards catty corner, you know. And so it doesn't surprise me. I thought Luka's talent, Tim Hardaway being healthy, you know, I thought it would outweigh the negative tones of what Kyrie probably would have brought to the Mavericks. And I thought they would definitely be in the playoffs and in the playoff hunt. And they are, but they're definitely right now they're in the play-in hunt, not the playoff hunt.
Yep.
And so that's a little surprising because I thought Luka would, you know, I mean, dude's a baller. He gets it done when he needs to. When the bright lights are on, he's going to put up 40, howbeit if you like him or if you dislike him because he's not in a Kings uniform. The fact of the matter is dude gets it done when he has to. And I thought they would get, you know, a little bump for Kyrie, but I did think that, you know, they wouldn't. I don't think they would go far, I should say. But it's interesting that it seems like everything is crumbling down. You got Jason Kidd talking about, I don't play, you know, I coach. He's putting it on the players. You got Luka, you know, sounding like he's almost, he's got the flu or something, man. It's like he doesn't even want to speak up. He's not even going to a high tone with the pitch of his voice. You know, Kyrie's blaming fans now, which he's always done in certain instances, but he's also saying, man, you guys can't play like me. By the way, this is a conversation in the summer. I know you guys have talked about this. I'm a firm believer there are guys, and we can argue this to I'm blue in the face because I've seen it. There are guys who on the corner right now can outplay NBA guys, man. That's the truth. Like, I've been privy to pre-games and stuff where NBA guys can't even do some of the habits, man,
yeah,
like habitual things that players should do. So I'm with all the fact of, no, it's not many guys at Kyrie's level, but there's some guys in that on the corner right now can ball G League style. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I'm not playing. I'm watching.
Absolutely. But to sum it up, Nick, man, they're in trouble. They're really in trouble.
Yeah, you're not going to fix their defense. Their defense is the biggest issue, and I know we got a text saying it, maybe if Luka stops dribbling the air out of the ball. Look, Luka's played the same way he's played his entire
forever.
Career, and they got to the Western Conference Finals last year. The issue is they don't have a ton of depth, and they don't have defensive players. Their top two players play 0.0 defense. That's always been the case. Their wing depth is pretty thin.
Yeah, they traded away some of those
guys. Yeah, and so now you're up against it. Would I count Luka out? No, but they're definitely going through some things. There's no doubt they're going through some things. Coming up, NBA numbers that'll make your stomach sick.
Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Ronnie
on Sacktown Sports.
San Diego Superchargers. I mean, this is just shameless from Kyle. This is what happens when you let somebody run the board and they grew up in San Diego.
Almost walked out, Nick. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Just taking advantage of the situation.
We're gonna dazzle you with our play.
Definitely don't need you singing it. That's for sure.
It's the biggest day in San Diego sports history.
Playing it is tough enough, let alone singing it. It's a pretty big day in Sacramento, too, there, Kyle.
That's why I got the Kings hat. I'm going to have more sports success in 24 hours than my first 24 years of life.
Why didn't you play San Diego State's fight song?
Because this song is a banger?
No, he has to play the song of a team that no longer exists.
Right. Are you still a Charger fan?
Oh, God, no. Not at all, no.
He said, oh, God, no.
Why would I do that to myself?
By the way, 94 likes, 6 away from a hunch.
Oh, we got that. In the bag.
Come on, baby.
Just say what's up, Simone. Just say that.
What's up?
Got it, Nick.
Now, people are not going to like it because Kyle's playing the San Diego Chargers song. By the way, tonight can be a celebration for Sacramento. It's a celebration. David Neal talked about Monty bringing in players that aren't drama kings off of our conversation.
Sorry.
About Luka. Did you just like completely railroad me just to say we got 100?
Yes.
All right, so we've got Kyle playing San Diego Superchargers. We've got Simone just absolutely railroading the show to be like, 100 likes!
Falling apart at the seams, Dallas Maverick style. Who's the Kyrie? Is it Kyle?
Yeah. No, don't put that on me. Kyrie. Don't put that on me.
Absolutely, it's Kyle.
No, don't put that on me.
You are a little eclectic, I will say that.
Eclectic, thinks he's the smartest guy in the room all the time.
Wow. I'm Luca, that's cool. Like to eat.
To all of our Jewish brothers and sisters out here, I just want to say, that is not, I don't want the Kyrie name on me.
All right, Nick, move on.
I was going to say,
yeah.
All right, well, you kill the music. So Todd Packer, unbelievable. Todd Packer says the city will burn down. Talking about Sacramento, not San Diego. I hope not. Let's not burn anything. Okay? Can we not have like cars flipping over in Sacramento? Yeah. Can we not have that?
Gonna flip cars over tonight.
People,
no. Right?
Don't climb on telephone poles or light poles. Don't flip any furniture over. Don't flip any cars over. Don't go that route. Don't go down that road. You celebrate. Celebrate responsibly. don't lose your minds. Have fun. Don't go crazy. A-Chun, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140, reporting in from the East Coast. Staying up past midnight is a celebration in itself.
Yes.
Tears will be shed regardless if Kings win or lose or if Keegan breaks the record. Yeah, we'll get to Keegan a little bit later on. But
what's up, man? Congratulations, A-Chun.
Could be a historic night for our friend Keegan Murray as well.
Wonder where A-Chun's checking in from, Nick. East Coast. That's your stomping ground.
Yeah,
brother.
I don't know from where, but yeah. He just said East Coast.
No doubt.
Ernie Castillo, celebrate good times. Yes, of course. Again, celebrate. Celebrate. Just don't do anything nuts.
And that's not a celebration song.
No.
Drop that.
It's just a banger, okay? I know it's a Chargers song, but it's just so good.
It was not even in existence anymore.
But San Diego got to keep the song. That's all we have left.
Well, next time, play the Kansas City Kings. How about that? Cincinnati Royals.
By the way, let me see. 3:50 on this Monday. That time check brought to you by Coastside Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. So we remember the Lakers-Celtics game that was on national television going back, I don't know, what was it, like 2 months ago, somewhere in that range. And LeBron was fouled at the end of the game, and it was obvious LeBron was fouled. It was clearly a missed foul. I mean, the dude almost lost an arm. No call. And then we had the dramatic tweet from the refs, the NBA officials, about sleepless nights and all of this. Well, if you were wondering what the tangible reaction has been towards the Lakers from the officiating crews since that moment, it's been ridiculous. So if you look at this, JJ, Dr. Guru tweeted out an updated chart of the 15 teams with the highest free throw differential this season. And by the way, your Kings are number two. That might surprise people, but the Kings have the second best free throw differential in the league. You have outshot your opponents at the free throw line by 187 free throw.
Man.
Sounds like a lot. 187 until you look at the Lakers, who who have outshot their opponents at the free throw line by 411 free throws.
That's not even fair.
411, more than double the team that's in second against the Kings. Now, since the referees issued their apology and told us they would have many sleepless nights, the Lakers have outshot their opponents at the free throw line by 263 free throws.
You know,
263. Second place, the Heat, 123. That's madness.
There's a saying that we all are familiar with. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Well, the great part about the job that we do, Nick, is we get to say anything that yes. we almost want to. Longer to, you know, if it's in FCC rules and regulations.
Indeed.
Yeah, man, I can't stand the Lakers.
Yeah.
Hate them.
Yep.
Dislike them.
Yep.
Don't mess with them.
Yep.
Wouldn't rock with them.
Yep.
Wouldn't ride with them.
Yep.
Wouldn't be in the gym shooting with them. None of that stuff.
Eh, maybe.
Maybe.
They can make me a better shooter, maybe.
Okay, no problem. I like
to shoot your shot.
I ain't mad at that. Look, it seems like you've shot very well as your married man.
But, shooting like Austin Reeves.
I'll say this. It just glows, shines, and shows. The league is helping these guys.
I mean, it's outrageous when you look at those numbers.
The proof is there.
Outrageous.
They're showing their hand. They have let people know. We want the Lake Show. We want the crypto. We want the LeBron and AD. We want Mrs. Buss to, or Miss Buss, because she's not married. Miss Buss to be in the NBA postseason. We want these guys here. We need the West Coast. And we're not talking about Golden State, Portland, Sacramento, or the Clippers. Mm. We want the Lakers to be there.
I mean, when it's 411 to 187.
Come on.
And it's 263 to 123. And that's the team, you know, that is trailing you, that is in second place with free throw disparity. The Kings, if you're wondering, they are in 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth place since the sleepless nights tweet. But the Lakers are just more than double the team in second
yes.
with free throw differential, which is just, again, it's madness. Speaking of madness, we're down to the final four. And you also have to throw in, by the way, that LBJ and AD have both missed games.
I know.
They're getting those calls about LeBron. But I digress. So, Final Four is set. We've got FAU against San Diego State.
San Diego!
Yes, indeed. San Diego State's defense is really the calling card and what has helped them get through. Martin and Davis are also good. Yeah. Miami versus UConn. To me, JJ, UConn is the best team remaining in the tournament. They're playing the best basketball. Dan Hurley's a really good coach. He was at my alma mater for years, and then left to go to UConn.
I see that. You kind of got Luka on me right there. That pains you to say that.
It hurts to see Dan Hurley just absolutely crush it. But anyway, that's URI versus UConn. It is what it is. You're not going to keep them for too long.
Truth.
But you've got 2 5s, a 4, and a 9.
I know, man. This is what I'm looking for. I love this type of Final Four. Again, I wish UConn doesn't win because they've already won. I want to see somebody else who's not as familiar, you know, cut the nets. But I like this type of stuff. This is what... When we think of March Madness, this is madness. I'm with this. Why not? Sign me up for this. I look forward to this type of situation. I would say you couldn't imagine San Diego State being in there, Florida Atlantic. Of course not. But I'm all for it. I will say this, too, on top of that. I do believe the writing's kind of been on the wall this season. Nick, the top 25 has shuffled more times this season than I can remember any amount of time. I was trying to look this up to see literally like how many different teams have been in the top 25, how many different number ones we've had this season.
Yep.
But it just seems like more than not. And I believe that's because some of the top talent, you know, they're going to overtime, G League. They're doing certain things going overseas. We don't see the top flight talent going to college, you know, a la Scoot Henderson, who's playing for the G League Ignite. And I just think, man, you know, the main top talent, they're one and dones anyway.
Yeah.
So I think this was just a matter of time. The writing was on the wall. This was going to happen. And I'm glad it is because we've seen the Butlers and all these guys come over the last decade or so, you know, enter, but they never win. We have a great opportunity to see a Florida Atlantic SD State, Miami.
Yeah.
Miami and basketball.
Yeah. Miami and basketball. And I know it's been brought up, and it's a good point. I've seen it being mentioned a bunch of times here over the last couple of weeks. But the COVID year also played a role
yes.
because you have a lot of 23, 24-year-olds playing.
Grown men?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Grown men. And no matter how talented you are when you're 18, still tough to go against a 24-year-old man.
Florida Atlantic.
Who's been around for a while. So that's what I would say.
What about the NIL money? They can play the part? A lot of people looking at Miami because they say they, you know, they recruited with the NIL money. With
yeah,
the best
I mean, I think it certainly played at least a part, somewhat of a role. All right, what would the Kings clinching tonight mean to you? We'll get to that next.